Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and I want to thank Reverend Steve Salezzi for asking me to come and be here with y'all tonight, today, this afternoon. The theme of this day in the Word is 1 Thessalonians 1:8, and that's where we'll start. So you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is just a great verse here. It says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." And that first part of the verse, "For from you sounded out." That's the only time that word is used in the Bible that I found. And I thought, I'm not like this Greek guy that throws around Greek words all the time, but in this particular case, I'll share what Greek word it is. It's Ezekiel, or I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right, okay? As I said, I'm not this Greek guy, but it has echo in it. And I know you all know what an echo is, right? I'm sure there's some setting over there to set this microphone on echo. It kind of sounds cool when you're singing. But this word sounded out is to sound forth and to emit and to resound. It's to echo. It's repetition of sound. And I thought it was so cool to think about how the great news that Jesus Christ was up was from, you know, someone who went to the tomb and he wasn't there, and then he was up, and she was the first one to say, "He's up, you know, he's risen." And then from there, it got repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. Not only in their day and age, but even today. It gets repeated by us over and over and over again. It gets sounded out, it resounds. It's this echo throughout time that Christ got up. And it really blessed me to think about how I am actually part of that. We are an extension of that time, of that event, of that happening, and we get to talk about it with others. Look at verse 7 here. "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." These believers here were in samples, or they made an impression or a blow to all these other people in these places. They were like the model believers. And how did they get to be that way? Well, they had to hear too. They had to have heard about it. Go up to verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The gospel came unto them not only with word, but with power. So they got to see that. They got to be part of that. They heard God's word and they saw it being lived. They had an example. Oh, they became examples as well of the same. They heard it and they saw it. And that's what we could provide today for people. They can hear the echo and they could see our lives and how we live, and how we do walk with power. And everybody has problems in life. I'll be the first one to say that I do. And I know everyone does. And more importantly, God knows that too. But we could still play a great part in this echo chamber and to do what God has called us to do. It's not our word. And it's so cool because we don't have to think up stuff and try and be creative, quote end of quote. It's the word that we've been given. We echo it. We don't have to invent it. It's already been invented. It's the word of the Lord. That's what it says in verse 8. "For from you sounded out," what? The word of the Lord. It's God's word. Go to 1 Timothy 2:4, please. First
1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Whose will is this? This is God's will. So many people are wondering, well, what's God's will? What is his will? Well, this is God's will, that all men be saved.
There's no question what his will is. This word will here is to desire by impulse. It's like the will to live. It's a great passion, a passionate thing. It's not like the will that's a result from when you think things over and weigh it in a balance and, you know, consider the pros and cons and you try to deliberate by careful consideration something before you decide to do it. That's not this word will. It's a passion. It's something that's just by impulse. God's heart, his desire. He doesn't have to think about it. It's that all men be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. And this word all here, I really love this word. A-L-L, simple. Because it's used two ways in the Bible, either all with distinction or all without exception. And this is all without exception. God's, it doesn't matter where you're from, where you've been, who you've talked to. God's will is that all, A-L-L, no exception, all men be saved. And not only that, but to come unto a knowledge of the truth. So that's two parts. So we not only share the new birth with people, you know, like I have a brother who I think he's totally satisfied knowing he's born again, and that's it. He's just, he knows he's born again, and he's blessed about that. But as far as coming unto a knowledge of the truth, that's the part. God's will is also that after we're born again, we continue to grow, we continue to learn. So it's not like we just speak the word to some new person all the time. We speak the word to each other so that we could all continue to grow and to come unto this knowledge of the truth, which is just the greatest thing. We're all part of it. We share God's word with each other and with, you know, people who haven't heard at all. It's really great. God's will is clear. He wants all, every man, woman, and child. And he's passionately, instinctively, impulsively desiring that. He wills it, that all men be saved. And saved is to be born again, be put back together, to have been made whole, body, soul, and spirit. All right, this is God's vision. This is not a man's idea that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. You know, it wasn't a person that thought of this idea or this goal. And this is pretty much the greatest vision I've ever heard of in my life. I don't know something that would be more incredible than that, that all men be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. This is something God initiated. It's his will, not a person's. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whole purpose and reason why this is God's will is because of love. God loves us. He loved us before we even knew what love was. And I didn't really understand the love of God so much as when I had my first baby. My first child, when she was born, I loved her. She did nothing for me. She didn't even obey me. She came out and just was looking around, hadn't even cried yet, and I loved her. And that's like God is with us. He loved us first. We didn't have to do anything, and he loved us. That's why God's will is that all men be saved, because he loves. He loves everybody, and he wants everyone to be put back together, to be made whole, and to know the truth. It's a love thing. And, you know, all men is all-inclusive. We all fall under that category, every man, woman, and child. Someone loved us enough to share God's word with us. Otherwise, I don't think you would be here today, would you? Maybe the maintenance person here that's overhearing this or something, maybe that's the only person that maybe would be here by some other reason, but somebody shared God's word with you, loved you enough so that you would be saved. And you know what? Hearing about how God raised his son from the dead is the greatest thing that we've ever heard in our life. There is nothing that has entered the threshold of your ears that's better than that. That's the best. Look at Romans 10:9. We never get so far advanced in God's word that we bypass a verse or verses like Romans 10:9-10. It says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And there it is. That's the greatest thing we've ever heard. There's nothing better than that. What, that your team won the championship? Please. Or that some cute person likes you? Come on, they probably changed their mind next week anyway. This is the greatest right here. This is what God would call the gospel, good news, the best news ever. And with this news, you have eternal life. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life and that it cannot be taken away. I was talking to the guys from the Saturday Fellowship recently how if you sinned and you lost your eternal life, you know, you weren't born again after that, how eternal was that? I mean, eternal up in like until the next day? It just doesn't make any sense that once you were given spirit that lives forever, that it would be taken away from you. That would be like the biggest Indian giving ever. We know that we're saved, we're born again, and we're going to heaven. We live with that great deliverance and great knowledge. And what that does inside of our hearts when we believe it, I'm sure God has it all worked out of how it just blesses us and calms us down. We're not so worried about what if I'm not. And this news, this deliverance, from the point of view of Jesus Christ, he was raised from the dead. Now put yourself in the shoes of his buddies at the time. Okay? They were there. They witnessed the crucifixion and they saw what happened to him. Think about that for a moment. That's your brother, the person who shared God's word with you, the person that loved you and taught you. He was your friend. And then he's crucified and killed. And how those 3 days and three nights that he was dead were just the darkest. And just the pain that comes with that. You've all known someone that has fallen asleep. It's the worst thing there is. It's the worst punch the adversary has is death. And the sorrow that they must have felt and the hurt. But then there was deliverance. Something happened. Jesus Christ was resurrected. He was alive. That must have been a wild time to get the word out, for the word to get to his friends, to his family, and to the people that knew him and loved him, that he was up. And then he even hung out with them and was with them. But that deliverance to get the word out that he was up must have just been so incredible, the emotional thrill that must have been. And you know, all that happened, and they all talked about it before the book of Romans and Corinthians was written. They weren't told, now you're supposed to go and talk about it. This is just something that they would do by impulse, by will, by not even thinking about it. They would just go and share it with everybody of the great deliverance that had happened. The closest thing that I've come to in my life where I could even associate such a thing was when Jerry was in the hospital over 20 some odd days with a tumor, stage 4. They were going to do a biopsy. People were praying. And it was a Friday night after fellowship. We got the news. There wasn't even enough tissue to take a biopsy of, a sample. There was deliverance. There was what? It was like, what? It was a miracle of healing that took place. And then I remember I went over to Joe Armstrong's and a bunch of people were there. The wine was out. And I just remember walking arm in arm with a bunch of people down Ray Street. All of a sudden, we see Gianna and Albert pulling up. And we told them instantly the news. And it was just like, I thought about it, that maybe that's a glimpse of what it was like when the first guys told people of the deliverance that Jesus Christ was up from the dead. That's my closest. But what a victory. What a victory. What a miracle that our Lord and Savior was up. What next? You know, the great news, the thrill in our heart that we have a Savior who was dead and is alive again. In Matthew 28, I'm just going to quote a couple of these, okay? You don't have to go there. Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus Christ's instructions on the day of ascension were, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's Matthew 28, 19. Mark 16, 15. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, 47, it says, should be preached in the name, in his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The vision had expanded from just reaching out to Israel to the entire world. And that's where we're at today. It must have been quite a shift in their thinking to think about that, that it's not just the lost sheep of Israel and just that one family that grew so big, but now it's the whole world, all nations, every creature, that the echo would begin and keep going. Echo it out of what God did for his son, Jesus Christ. God's plan. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18. This is God's plan of what he arranged and what he set up for this echo chamber. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We each, every believer, has a ministry, a calling, a service to this ministry of reconciliation. And that's to put back together that which was separated, to bring people back to God. We all have this. We get to help God with his vision of every man, everywhere, to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. It goes on, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, isn't that great? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This word is committed to us. It's the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, By us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God.
Ambassadors in Christ's stead. Where is Christ now? He's in us. It's Christ in you.
In Christ's stead, we're here.
And is way more than just one. Way more.
It's us. We are ambassadors. This is something that God called us to be.
He's given us a ministry of reconciliation, and he's made us ambassadors.
Honestly, it
doesn't matter how you feel or what you're going through. You are an ambassador because that's what God made you. That's what you are, an ambassador.
And an ambassador means a sent one. An ambassador is a representative of the highest rank to bring forth a message.
We're sent into the world to every creature, every nation.
It's Christ in you. And it's not like just sent to some small group of special people, but it's sent to the whole world.
So this is God's plan. This is God's vision. This is his heart. This is what we're a part of. That's why we're part of the family of God. Somebody spoke the word to us. It reached us. And we get to work together with God in that. You know, he works within us. And we get to be, it should be such a fun journey to be part of that. The pressure's not on you. It's God's vision. We just help him with it. We just live our lives and be examples and share his word, you know, and enjoy being part of it.
In Acts 1:8, this is the last thing Jesus Christ said before he ascended here in this great section. Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
The uttermost part of the earth. That brings us to right here, right now, and to everywhere until the day this same person comes back, because he's coming back.
Unto the uttermost part of the earth.
God's will is that all men be saved, that we sound it out to everybody. Even if they don't speak your language, you could communicate to them by getting help from somebody who does. Like, we know that, I forget how many different countries there's fellowships that are taking place in that are connected to believers here in New Jersey. Something like 12. Something like that. But it's getting sounded out. All men. Not just to be saved, but to come unto a knowledge of the truth. And that's the part where we continue to grow. I don't know anyone that has said, "I know all truth. I'm done." We all continue to grow in that area. And you know what? Somebody shares the word with you at a fellowship on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and you continue to grow and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Even if you've been in God's word for 30, 40 years, you continue to grow in a knowledge of the truth. Speaking God's word to new people is fantastic, and we should continue to do that. But we keep growing and learning, so we each come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God's heart is beautiful. He loves us. He wants us to enjoy all his benefits, to be part of his family, to have every blessing that comes with that. And he's bestowed his love upon us, and we didn't have to earn it at all. And we get to love others with the same love that we've been loved with. And when you love someone enough to share God's word with them, that's the love of God. Being afraid to speak God's word, I don't even know. That's not the love of God. But when you love with the love of God, you will have no fear at all to share God's word with anybody, even if they have a suit and tie on, and you don't. Just, it doesn't matter how old they are and how young you are, or how old you are and how young they are. It's because of the love that it will come through. And without the love, we might as well shut up anyway. But we've been loved, and we know how to love better than anyone else because we have experienced God's love. So sound it out, echo it out, and that's what our theme is for today. That's it. Thanks.